We're going to get into the lesson this morning. Today we're going to kind of explore this idea of mentoring, this idea of following, leading, and then following others. This idea of discipling. And I appreciate Mr. Earl reading the scripture that Paul is sending word to Timothy to teach and mentor him in his ministry. And the words of a more experienced disciple, follower, to a younger one. And what more appropriate than Mr. Earl, who is more experienced than most, to be able to read that. We've got a lot of examples of what it looks like to lead and follow and be disciples. But we're gonna take just a few minutes, and we're gonna see a few examples of what that looks like from the big screen. So bear with us there.
What does that mean? With the stone gone, that is, that Voldemort can never come back.
Oh, I'm afraid there are ways in which he can return. Harry, do you know why Professor Quirrell couldn't bear to have you touch him? It was because of your mother. She sacrificed herself for you. And that kind of act leaves a mark. No, no. This kind of mark cannot be seen. It lives in your very skin.
What is it?
Love, Harry. Love.
Seek it with your hands. Don't think about it. Feel it. Your hands is wiser than your head ever gonna be. I can't take you there, Junior. Just hopes I can help you find a way. It's just you, that ball, that flag. And all you are, seek it with your hands. Don't think about it.
Check it on.
Miss Han, I already...
Check it on. Check it on.
I'll have a jacket.
Check it on. Strong. Check it on.
Firm.
Check it off. Remember, always strong. Check it off. Strong. Left foot back. Right feet back. Left feet back.
Oh,
focus!
Okay.
Always concentrate. Kung Fu lives in everything we do, Xiao Zui. It lives in how we put on the jacket, how we take off the jacket. And lives in how we treat people. Everything is Kung Fu.
Should not. For my ally is the Force, and the powerful ally it is. Life creates it, makes it grow. Its energy surrounds us. and binds us. Luminous beings are we, not this crude matter. You must feel the force around you. You, between you, me, the tree, the rock, everywhere. Yes, even between the land and the ship.
Just a few examples that that we see in the big screen, but we're going to look at the original discipling example. Jesus started his ministry with this. Matthew 4, verses 18 through 20. As Jesus was walking along beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, called Peter, and his brother Andrew. They were casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. "Come, follow me," Jesus said, "and I will make you fishers of men." And at once they left their nets and followed him. And I want to run over to chapter 28, where Jesus gives the last instructions. Or some of the last instructions. Starting in verse 18. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always until the end of the age." You see, when Jesus started, he just simply said, "Follow me." And then at the end, he said, "Go and do." But in between that, in between the starting, in between those times, Jesus said, "Follow me and go and do." But between that, he spent a lifetime training and teaching his disciples what to do. And our training partly comes from Scripture. It does. But another aspect of that is the church. And this is, you know, where we are all part of this group of believers that's made up of followers and leaders at the same time. We're all moving in a constant direction to get closer to God. Now, don't get me wrong, we're all broken people. We're all people that are flawed. But we learn from each other. We can learn what it looks like, what Scripture looks like, living, breathing, and walking around by looking at each other. Some of the best examples are emulated in our brothers and sisters in everyday life. But at the same time, we can look at our brothers and sisters and say, yeah, don't follow that example. We can learn from their mistakes as well. So, you know, life gets messy. Right? I mean, it's easy to sit back and to say, love God and love others. But sometimes I'm not real sure what that looks like on a Tuesday afternoon. And sometimes I need to be able to look around and be able to see others living that out. So living in this Christian community with a group of believers, knowing that we're all moving in the same direction, is part of this discipling, mentoring thing. Now, don't misunderstand me for just a second. Let me kind of throw a little small disclaimer out. There are other denominations that do this to an extreme. you go and get baptized into this discipling church, and when you get baptized, you get dried off, and they give you a 3-ring notebook. This is how we do what we do. And Brother Jed over here and Brother Bob over here, they're going to follow you around and make sure you do what you're doing. That's taking Scripture and making it complicated when Jesus made it very simple. And that is in no way what I'm advocating. But there's a lot of value that we miss every day because we aren't looking around at our fellow Christians. So why are we doing it? I mean, why are we thinking about, why are we looking at this idea of discipling, mentoring, training the younger ones? And when I say younger ones, let's be very clear about something. Young in this case doesn't necessarily mean young in age. Because God works in different people's lives differently, and sometimes we get young Christians in here that are not young in age. And they get left out a little bit with some of the training that maybe some of our youth group gets left out on, or that gets. So this idea of younger is really a less mature, early in the Christian walk, faith idea. Well, we're doing this because Jesus said so. I mean, Jesus left and he said, okay, now you go and make disciples. Well, I mean, that's pretty good reasoning there. But, you know, having a group of people that we can follow behind helps to push us along. It helps for us to develop a deeper faith. You know, when we can look around at somebody and say, that's what that looks like. That's what loving your enemy looks like in practice. That helps us to develop a deeper faith. You know, I think about people in my life that have been the mentors, have been the Yodas to me. And I think about Winterfest this past year. We had 30 people that showed up to a cabin that had no water because the pipes were frozen, which presents a whole host of problems. Fortunately, there was a hot tub on the back porch that we could get water out of and pour in the toilets, make the toilets work. So that was a good thing. But 30 people in a cabin at Winterfest that first night, and there was no water. Well, we woke up the next morning, and the roads were slicked over and iced. I mean, the kids were sliding down the hill. We couldn't go anywhere. And it was about 1 o'clock or so before we could get out. And we finally got to that afternoon session, and we were a little early. And one of my former youth minister is one of the producers there. And Isaac was with me. He was quite the trooper on the trip. So I wanted Isaac to meet him. So we went up and introduced him. And, you know, we talked for just briefly. And he asked me, he said, how's the trip going? I was like, man, it's crazy. I'm about to pull my hair out. I was like, we got no water at the cabin. So I've been dealing with that and calling the cabin company back and forth. And then got snowed in this morning, and you know, instead of jumping on that poor, pitiful me bandwagon, he just looked at me, and he was the mentor that I needed at the time. And he said, "You know what? Kids remember that trip." And as soon as he said that, I thought about the trip that we took to North Carolina skiing, and he was brand new youth minister, and we got one of the big, nice 30-passenger buses. It was the first time it ever rolled out of the parking lot. I mean, it was still plastic on the seats. And on the way home, we almost got snowed in. So we had to stop and put snow chains on the van. That lasted about 200 yards, and then the snow chains came up through the bottom of the van. Yeah, brand new youth minister, but in brand new van, and he's got to go back and tell the elders, hey, yeah, we might need a little work on the van. But I remember that trip. And he was spot on for being able to mentor me in that place to say, hey, don't worry about the bumps along the road. Things are going to be okay. And actually, those bumps along the road help us remember that. So having somebody there helps us to keep things in perspective. It helps us to develop that deeper faith in knowing that God's in control. So who are we talking about? You know, I thought it was funny. Somebody, and I will not mention names in this. Somebody asked me this morning, you know, where are we in the mentoring program? Do you need somebody else to help out? And quite frankly, I just kind of stand here and say things. My wife is the one who organizes all that and gets it all straight. So, you know, if it has anything to do with organization, she's all over that. But anyway, they said, you know, do you need more people? I said, well, I'm not sure. And they said, well, I'm not real sure I want to do this. You know, I may be a little old for that. I was like, we'll talk about that. But really, well, let's look at Colossians 1:28. Let's see about that idea of being too old. Verse 28. We proclaim him, admonishing and teaching everyone with all wisdom, so that we may present everyone perfect in Christ. That's kind of simple there. Who's doing this mentoring thing? Everybody. Every follower of Jesus should be mindful that they are moving in a direction and there's somebody following after them and there's somebody following yet after them. So when we think about it, nobody gets a pass on this because somebody younger is always watching. I mean, we know that having kids, right? I mean, I look around and I'm like, oh, yeah, don't do that. You just did that. Yeah. Yeah, as a parent, I have to learn really, you know, every day to not do stupid stuff in front of my kids. Because when I do, you know, the old adage, monkey see, monkey do. Somebody is always watching our example, whether we like that or not. That's just the way it is. That is part of the Christian community that we live in. So you don't really get a pass on this. Now, you don't have to sign up for the mentoring program, but you need to understand and know that being a part of this Christian community, somebody is always watching. And that's not just God. Somebody is looking at you for an example, regardless of your age, regardless of how mature in the faith you are or not. Somebody is always paying attention to what you're doing. So when somebody's always watching me, and like I said with the kids, I'm having to constantly think about and not do stupid stuff because I'm inherently doing that. But this idea that, oh, don't do that, and I need to be doing this, and I need to focus on that. There's this inherent underlying concept that I am constantly growing. I'm constantly moving. And if I realize as a Christian, as a follower of Jesus, that I'm always moving towards a closer relationship with Jesus, then there's somebody following after me, and there's somebody following after them. Because, quite frankly, it's not okay for us to be stagnant in our Christian walk. And having the idea, knowing that somebody's there watching us makes us move. So what does it look like to do this whole mentoring thing? Because, you know, when I was baptized, they dumped me in the water and hopped up and dried you off and sent you to class. There you go. Good job. We're proud of you. And it wasn't until later in life that I realized and gained an appreciation for looking at those around me. So what does this look like in practice? Well, it looks like being intentional with those around us. It looks like having a purpose when we interact with fellow believers. It's investing in others. It's showing up at a baseball game. It's telling somebody younger, hey, I know your trip's going bad, but that's a trip those kids will remember. That's showing up when things aren't the way they should be and saying, hey, I know you didn't plan for this, but God has a better plan for you. And I can say that because this is what's happened in my life. The Christian community in which we live every day is our God-given space in which we grow spiritually. I mean, we can sit, we can read Scripture, and we can pray, and we can meditate, and we can do a lot of things. And those are ways that God makes us into better followers of His every day. But having this community surrounding us promotes that growth. It makes us to be better people. Well, where are we supposed to do this? Let's look at Acts 1, verse 8. Jesus, and he said to them, and this is Jesus speaking, "It is not for you to know the times or the dates the Father has set by His own authority. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. And you will be My witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." There's not a specific place in which we do this. We're called to be witnesses to each other and witnesses to everyone all the time, anywhere. Because as Christians, as followers of Jesus, we have to be engaged in our surroundings. The world's a big, bad place. And I remember as a seventh grader sitting in a high school class, and a question was asked, well, how can you avoid doing whatever? And I don't even remember the specifics of it. But I just basically blurted out an answer that I was like, yeah, maybe I shouldn't have said that. But I said, well, just don't be friends with a person like that. And some of the older classmen in the room kind of chuckled, and they were like, yeah, if it were that simple. The fact is, we have to be engaged in our surroundings and engaged with people so that they can see Jesus. That's what we're called to do. I mean, Jesus said, follow me. He trained His disciples. And then He says, go and do. He doesn't say, go and hide till I come back. He says, go and do what I've taught you to do. Let's look at Mark chapter 10, 17 through 22. As Jesus was on His way, a man ran up to Him and fell on his knees before Him. Good teacher, he asked, what must I do to inherit eternal life? So this is obviously somebody who knew Jesus. Why do you call Me good? Jesus answered. No one is good except for God alone. You know the commandments. Do not murder. Do not commit adultery. Do not steal. Do not give false testimony. Do not defraud. Honor your father and mother. So Jesus knew this, knew the history of this guy pretty quick. Jesus, teacher, he declared, all of these things I have kept since I was a boy. Jesus looked at him and loved him. Jesus looked at him and loved him. One thing you lack, he said, go and sell everything you have, give it to the poor, and you will have treasures in heaven. Then come follow me. At this, the man's face fell, and he went away sad because he had great wealth. The only person in Scripture who ever left Jesus sad. You know, when we say something, when we say, Lord, I'm going to follow you, those words have to have actions with them. When we say, this is what we're doing, it's got to show up in what we do. Because this guy here, he came to Jesus and he's like, Lord, I've done all these things. I've checked all the boxes. And Jesus looked at him and said, yeah, you have. But there's still that one little thing over here that you're hanging on to. And there are no excuses when it comes to following Jesus. Because he didn't let him have an excuse. And that applies to us today. And especially when it comes to this idea of mentoring and understanding that those coming behind us are watching us. There are no excuses. You know, young Christians need to see what it looks like for faith to be in action. They've got to see that. They've got to see what it looks like on a Tuesday morning to be a follower of Jesus. Every day. So, you know, today is not just about the youth mentoring program. Today is really about an idea and a way of living inside of our Christian community. It's about following those that are ahead of us. And for us to follow those ahead of us, we have to know their story. We have to know where our story fits into the big picture so that God can use us. When we understand where our story fits into the bigger picture, our faith becomes our vision of why we are here. Our faith becomes a vision of who we are to be. And what we are to do, where we're to go, and how to live glorifying God. You know, Jesus started his ministry with the simple, come follow me. There was no, go get this part of your life right, and then come follow me. There was no, this 12-step process, and then come follow me. It's simply following Jesus. He spent a lifetime training them, and then he said, you go out and do. So when it comes to us today, we've got two places where this message can hit us. One, are we at the stage where Jesus is saying to us, come follow me? Or are we at the stage where Jesus is saying, okay, now it's your turn to go and do? And this is kind of the part where doing the invitation I kind of not experienced. So But if that's where God meets you this morning, wherever it may be, in between the come follow me and the go and do, and realizing that there are others that are following after your example, good or bad example, if there's anything that we can do for you this morning, if we can pray with you this morning, we can baptize you, whatever. But I appreciate the opportunity to speak this morning. And if there's anything we can do for you, let us know as we stand and sing.